Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Jesus said, it's like the days of Noah. They are marrying, giving in marriage, and then the flood came and wiped off the face of the earth. So people are going to be marrying and giving in marriage. It's at a time that they don't expect it.
Is the end of the world really just around the corner? The only way to know that is to read and rightly divide the Bible, God's Word. There are so many, too many opinions out there about when Jesus is coming back. But in His Word, Jesus Himself tells us what to look for. He also tells us to be ready because no one knows when Jesus is coming back for His church. But we know it's happening soon. Be wise, be in the Word, and be ready. Here's part two of Luke 21, 7 through 8, with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Today we see that there are many false teachers that are there. So you have the responsibility to make sure you are not deceived. The second thing Jesus says was that many are going to come and say, I am the Christ. This is a phenomenon that has happened throughout history, where there have been people who claim to be Jesus, either the reincarnated Jesus or the Christ, the real Christ, whatever it may be. And I was going to give you a list of those names, but I decided I didn't want to put a lot of time into that. So here's what I'd like you to do. And you can do this right now if you want to. You can type into the search engine on your phone. I'll give you permission. All right. List of people who claim to be Jesus. There are several different places you can go. I went to Wikipedia. And it's got a list of people in the 1800s, 1900s, and the 2000s. And the 2000s isn't very long. And someone said, well, how come it's not that long? Because we're only a fifth of the way through. It's significantly long. And these are people that are well known who claim to be Jesus. In the 1900s, you'll notice David Koresh, Jim Jones, David Koresh of the Branch Davidians, Jim Jones of the People's Temple of Guyana. Over 900 people took their lives from Jim Jones. You'll notice Sung Young Moon, and a lot of other names that you will recognize as you make your way down that list. Now, they don't generally garner hundreds of thousands of followers, but the followers they do have, like Charles Manson, are very devoted to them. Charles Manson's on that list as well. They're very devoted to him. And so Jesus wanted them to know, people are going to come saying, I am the Christ. I also want to say that if you are in a ministry where the pastor exalts himself to be something above other pastors, more important than other pastors, get away from that place. So there are preachers in the 1900s and in the 2000s who will say, I'm Elijah. This is another phenomenon. I'm Elijah. Why? Because Elijah comes before the great and terrible day of the Lord. I want you guys to know that I'm Elijah, and I come before the great and terrible day of the Lord, and God has anointed me, and people go, ooh, I go to the church where Elijah's at. Other guys will go, I'm anointed. I got a great anointing from God, and you better not speak against God's anointed because I'm God's anointed. But what they don't understand or what they are not teaching is that in the last days, God pours out His Spirit on all flesh. And there is no one who is anointed above others except the anointed one, which is Christ. And that the job of a pastor isn't to be anointed above everybody else, but to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Jimmy Swaggart believed that he was the one who was going to bring about the end of the world. In his ministry back in the 80s, he had a map behind him of the world, and he had pins put in it everywhere they had radio stations. And Jesus said, when the gospel is preached around the world, then the end will come. He used to teach that he was the one who was going to fulfill that. When there was a pin in every location of the world, Jesus was going to come. He didn't think he was part of the gospel being preached around the world. We are. We're a part of it. But we're not anywhere near all of it. No matter how large our influence gets, it takes other people to be able to reach other parts of the world. And the gospel will be preached around the world, and then the end will come, but it won't be Jimmy Swaggart. And so when you're at a church and someone exalts themselves, when they start talking about that they are something above measure, that's not humble. That's not a good thing to be. And it's not a good thing to set under someone like that. So Jesus says, when someone says, I am He, get away from them. But there's another phenomenon. People that teach that Jesus is coming back now, they set dates. I even think it's a dangerous thing for us to say things like, Jesus is coming back in the next 10 years. You know, if you've been here a while, that I'll say, I believe Jesus is coming back soon. But I don't know if it's next 10 years or 50 years or 200 years. Who knows? God could give more time. Why would God give more time? The Bible says God is not slack concerning his promises, but desires that all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. And to God, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. We just want to be faithful in our lifetime. But people begin to understand, if I start talking about Jesus coming now, if I tell you there's four moons of a triad in the fourth alignment of the something and that Jesus is coming back now, then you're going to get interested in it. And many have been deceived over the years, especially the last couple hundred years. I'm going to give you a list of a few people that gave dates. These are people that actually gave dates for the return of Jesus. There was a man named William Miller. The Millerites came from him. William Miller believed that the Bible was a puzzle, and he had to figure out the puzzles. He was a deist, not a born-again Christian. Now, some believe that he became born again, but when he did his work on the return of Christ, he was a deist, believing that he was working with a puzzle and putting pieces together. He took a passage from Daniel that says you got to reach these 1,200 and something days, and he turned them into years, and he found a date to start it, and he came up with the date of October 22nd, 1844, being the last day Jesus could come. He also had influence on some very influential people who started to back him, and it was a huge movement in the 1800s. So that as that date moved closer, people stopped planting their farms, people started selling their homes and goods and giving them away because they believed so much that this was going to happen, and then it didn't happen. And it's called the Great Disappointment. And you're going to look it up and look up specifically the aftermath of the Great Disappointment. Jesus said, don't follow them. And they did. And they had their lives destroyed. Their very livelihood was taken from them. People killed themselves after it because they had given everything away. People walked away from Christ after it. Out of the Millerite, out of this Great Disappointment came Jehovah's Witnesses, were influenced by the Millerites. The Mormons were influenced by the Millerites. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, I'll talk about them in a moment, were influenced by the Millerites. So out of this one movement came all of these weird, strange things. Joseph Smith never said there was a day, but he gave a time frame. And their church is called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They're focused on the latter days. Jehovah's Witnesses gave a date for the return of Jesus. He didn't come back. Set another date for the return of Jesus. He didn't come back. Set another date for the return of Jesus. He didn't come back, so they said he came back secretly. He really did come back, but he came back privately. It's interesting that Jesus said, if they say to you he is in the inner room, don't believe him. So when I'm talking to Jehovah's Witnesses at the door, I've got a little thing I do. I say, you say Jesus came back secretly. Jesus told me if they say he came back in the inner room not to believe him. So you tell me he did. Jesus said not to believe you. You or Jesus, I'm going to believe Jesus. I'm sorry. That's just a little thing that I do with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Sung Young Moon said Jesus was going to come back in 35, 43, 72, and 75. Now to him and to what were called the Moonies, Jesus was something radically different than what you and I believe. Herbert W. Armstrong of the Worldwide Church of God said Jesus was coming back before he died. He died, and Jesus never came back. The Seventh-day Adventists have their roots in Millerism. And in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, you got to be careful because there's been something interesting happening among that church here in the last 20, 25 years. There are Seventh-day Adventist churches that are rejecting the idea that what day you go to church saves you. And they still prefer, because of their roots, to go to church on Saturday. But if you talk to them, they believe exactly what we believe about salvation. They have disconnected going to church on Saturday from salvation, which is the foundation, the roots of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So they've moved away from that. And for that, I applaud them. That's awesome that they would be able to say, we reject this and we change. And if they want to go to church on Saturday, that's their right. We talk about our freedom, right? And if they want freedom to go to church on Saturday and they don't believe that that's how they are saved, then that's good. Now, there are also many Seventh-day Adventist churches that still believe it's part of salvation, and they're very traditional with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm just saying that when you talk to someone who's a Seventh-day Adventist, you've got to be careful because you don't know what group they're part of. So you just want to be careful. You don't want to paint with such a broad brush that you end up condemning someone who really and truly is not condemned. So there's changes happening. I also will say there's changes happening in the Worldwide Church of God as well. There's part of them that is still a cult, and there is part of them that has repented and turned away from it and are moving away from that whole cult aspect as well, since I brought them up. Now, the last guy I want to bring up is Harold Camping. You guys may remember Harold Camping. He said that Jesus was going to return in 1994, and he didn't. So he calculated again, and he got a new date. And the new date was 2011. That's probably the date you remember. And you remember it was a big deal. People believed him, which amazes me. Jesus said there are going to people say that the time is near. Don't go after them. And here people are, yep, Harold Camping's right. Jesus is coming back. I had somebody tell me Harold Camping said it, and they believed it here at the church. And I said, Jesus is not coming back when Harold Camping says he is, because Jesus said, I'm coming back at a time you don't expect me. And all you guys are expecting him. And he defended, again, Harold Camping. Jesus didn't come back in 2011. Harold Camping has since gone to be with the Lord, and I assume now knows that he's wrong about the return of Christ. Let me just say this. Let's hope he waits. Because the more he waits, the more people are going to get saved. Yes, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But I am not in a hurry to see the tribulation come upon these people who are in the world today. I'm not in a hurry to see them face the destruction, the final birth pain, and all of the things that will happen we'll be talking about over the next few months. And we want to make sure that we are not deceiving people for the sake of firing people up. Look, the motivation of salvation, living for Christ, being accountable to the generation that we live in is enough. We do not have to use sensationalism, and I don't like sensationalism. We don't have to use sensationalism to try to get people sold out. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He's going to show up at a time you don't expect him. That might be at the beginning of a birth pain, rather than in the middle or the end of a birth pain. It's a time when we don't expect it. Jesus said, it's like the days of Noah. They are marrying, given in marriage, and then the flood came and wiped off the face of the earth. So people are going to be marrying and giving in marriage. It's at a time that they don't expect it. And I think that perhaps we're in the middle of this contraction now where everybody's thinking the end of the world is around the corner, when in fact, it may very well be in the future. God may give us a break, and let's hope that he does so more people can get saved. Let me give you three things in closing. Number one, learn how to rightly divide the word of God. Let me give you a couple of resources that may help you. Read the Bible. Have it read to you. You can download, I use YouVersion Bible, and you can actually hit the button and have it played to you. You can Bluetooth it to your car, and you can listen to the entire Bible. The New Testament takes about 28 hours to listen through. If you did that back and forth to work, how long would it take you? A few months to make through the whole New Testament? Be aware of what's there. Listen to it. Pay attention. Read it. Second, memorize it. And I want to give you another resource for that. When I was a kid, when I first came to Christ, I went to the Christian bookstore. There's not many of them around anymore. And I got memorization cards. And I memorized dozens, if not hundreds, of verses through memorization cards. And I'm glad I did that. I said on Wednesday night that a lot of the verses I quote over and over again, you guys know I memorized them when I was younger, all right? And that's how come I can quote them over and over again. The Holy Spirit brings them to my memory at a moment I need to. So go, and you can do it right now if you want to. Go on your phone, go to your app store, type in Bible memory, and there are several really good Bible memory apps. When you're standing in line in Starbucks, do you ever stand in line? I mean, we always look at our phone, right? I'm as bad as everybody. There's not anybody in here who's as bad. We're all the same. So I'm standing in line, and I get, last night we went to Five Guys after church to get a burger. So I'm standing in line to pick it up, and I'm looking at my phone. I check my mail, and I look at Facebook a little bit, and I kind of look around. And then I'm going back and forth on my apps looking for something to look at. I've run out of things to look at. But I still look at it like I'm going to see something new as I'm going back and forth. I'll be reminded of what it is, because heaven forbid that I do this. Right? But during that time, you could open up your Bible memory app and you can work on the verses you're memorizing. Let's do it. Let's learn the Bible. Let's memorize it. Let's have a hunger to know the truth and know what it says. Let's be able to answer the hard questions that are out there. Let's take it into our lives so we know it well and God will use it in your life. In fact, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, when He comes, will bring all things to your memory that I have told you. He brings things up, but you got to put it in. If you don't know what He said, then it won't be brought back out again. So that's the first one. Learn how to rightly divide the Word of God. Go to the Bible to learn what to believe instead of going to the Bible to support what you already believe. You might find what you already believe is true, but if you believe something wrong and you find support for it, you're going to continue to believe what's wrong. Beware of people who exalt themselves. Beware of people who tell you that they've got a special anointing. Beware of people who tell you that they're Elijah. Certainly beware of people who tell you that they're reincarnated Jesus. The Bible says those of you who are leaders need to be servants. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord. And if by chance a leader is hearing this, don't exalt yourself because God will bring you down. Turn away from anyone. Beware of those who exalt themselves. Finally, reject the date setters. Reject them wholeheartedly. The people that are there, there are signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. But reject those who are trying to use those signs to tell you that Jesus is coming back by a certain date. Do you remember 2012? Do you remember the Shemitah and the blood moons? And all of those, and Jesus is going to come back in 2012 because the signs in the sky point to it. And there's the four blood moons that are happening and the triad of this and that and those things that are going on. And I'm not saying, here's the interesting thing. There are going to be signs in the moon and the stars. There are going to be. And they may already be happening. The latest super blood moon might have been a sign. Who knows? I remember I'm standing in my backyard looking at the eclipse moon, which is a super moon. It's closer than it is usually. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, Lord, is this saying something? This is weird. To be looking at the moon hanging in the sky, not shining like a ball there with these weird shadows on it. I remember thinking that also back in the 90s when you could see Shoemaker Levy. Do you remember that? Standing in my backyard and looking up at a comet going, okay. Is this a sign? Is this a sign of something that's taking place now? The interesting thing is these people that are into all these things are going to one day be right. There's going to be some sign that's going to tell them. They're going to go, I told you I was right. Yeah, but you were wrong all those other times. You were just looking at the stars because you told us to look at the stars and you were misreading them. So reject the date setters and occupy until He comes. Learn the Word of God. Be a city set on a hill, shine for Him, learn His word, let God use you in this generation because this is the generation that we're responsible for. Listen, you are not responsible for any one person's salvation. But Jesus said, the Bible says, one man plants, another man waters, and God gives the increase. You are responsible to plant and water, and God's the one who will give the increase. You can never take the guilt of someone not getting saved. You say, well, I was wanted to share the gospel with my grandfather and that he would get saved, but I didn't do it, and now he may be in hell because of me. He's not in hell because of you. You can't put all that on your shoulders. But neither can you deny that you are the light of the world and that we all have to shine as a light to those around us. So do the things God's called you to do and occupy, and one day He will return, and maybe it'll be during our lifetime. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank You for this time that we can spend in Your word. Thank You that You give us these, that we are not deceived. And as we look back at these false teachers who set dates and swayed thousands, tens of thousands of people with their charts and the things that they said, and we pray, Lord, that we would never give in to those things. Help us to truly give out the gospel of Jesus Christ and let that be a solid difference. And we thank You for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. I want to give you a chance to give your life to Christ if you never had. I was thinking there are a lot of different kinds of non-believers here. That's a term that we Christians would use. I don't think anybody in the world would say, I'm a non-believer. We call them non-believers when they don't give their lives to Christ. Some of you are non-believers because you don't believe. You don't believe in a virgin birth and you don't believe in a resurrection. You just don't believe them. But I want to ask you a question if that's you. Do you believe in the supernatural? Do you believe that this material world is all there is? Or do you think there's something going on behind the scenes? And if there's something going on behind the scenes, why wouldn't God do something supernatural like raising a man from the dead to show you that it's possible for you to rise from the dead, giving you the supernatural? And I would encourage you not to dismiss those things so quickly without looking into them, because surprisingly, there's a lot of evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Surprisingly, you wouldn't think there'd be any, but there is a lot of evidence for it. Now, another kind of non-believer here would be someone who does believe, but they don't follow Christ. You say, well, I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, but I don't follow him. I want to live for myself. Maybe because you think you're going to do it at a later date. I'll do it after I get married. I'll do it after I retire. I'll do it after I die, but you can't. So you keep pushing it off and pushing it off. Or maybe you think you're okay. Look, I go to church. Look, I've gone to church my whole life. Look, I'm not a bad person. Look, I've never murdered anyone. Like, that's the standard. Murderers go to hell. Everybody else goes to heaven. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Jesus said, you have to receive him. The Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God. He wants to adopt you as an heir into his family, and you will become the light of the world. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. You've got to know that. You've got to sense that. You're here for a reason, and God wants you to begin to live that reason today. Today is the day. So if you want to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to acknowledge it. God bless you, ma'am, right here in the front. God bless you, sir. Your hand went up immediately. God bless you there in the back by the prayer room. That's great. God bless you here in the middle. You guys back in the back. That's great. God bless you also off to my left a little bit in the back. God bless you, sir, right here in the front. You're saying, I want to give my life to Christ. He's knocking. He's knocking at the door. The question is, will you open it and invite him in and receive him? God bless you guys. That's great. All right. You could put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's awesome. Listen, I prayed a prayer very similar to the prayer you just prayed when I was 14 years old. And I want to tell you, God changed me. He transformed me at 14. I suddenly wanted to go to church. I wanted to read the Bible. And there were so many other ways in which God made me into a new person. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, everything becomes new.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.